Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is Frances Kissling. She was president of Catholics for Choice until her retirement in 2007 and is currently a visiting scholar at the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania and serves on the advisory board of the Journal of Feminist Ethics and Women's Bioethics Project. She is a consultant to the Western Hemispheric region of the International Planned Parenthood Federation, where she develops and conducts values clarification workshops for doctors and nurses working on reproductive health in Latin America. She has an article at The Nation, A New Pope, African, Latin American, Woman, Nice Guy Will Change Nothing. Welcome to Background Briefing, Frances Kissling.
Hi, Ian. Nice to be with you.
And in the title of your article at The Nation, you put woman in there. That's a snowball's chance in hell?
Yes, that is definitely a snowball's chance in hell. But the way things are going, we may well see some snowballs in hell.
Well, tell us about what's going on with Repubblica and Panorama, these two major newspapers in Italy. It's caused quite a flap. The Vatican has so strenuously denied the reports that, it's sort of, he doth protest too much. But tell me about what you understand of these reports to contain.
Right. Well, there are so many scandals in the Vatican. It's sort of an ongoing occupation. But there had been a number of scandals. Most recently, when the Pope's butler was accused of having leaked information about the Vatican Bank and corruption within the bank to the media, that a commission of three cardinals was set up to look into that leak and to basically look into, generally speaking, what was going on around the bank and around leaks in the Vatican. And that report was delivered to the Pope about 2 weeks ago. And apparently, or at least what the newspapers are saying, is that the report also contains extensive material about, they say, prelates, so it could be anywhere from priests to cardinals, who are engaged in homosexual behavior and who are being blackmailed by worldly sources, both around the sexuality issue and around corruption in the banks. And that's about as much as we know, and that this was sort of the last straw, as Andrew Sullivan put it, the last red Prada shoe to drop in terms of the Pope deciding that he had to resign.
So those
are the outlines of the of what's available at this point in time.
So this 300-page dossier compiled by three cardinals who are going to be voting for a new Pope, they were given to the Pope a few weeks ago, and they were labeled pontifical secret, apparently. And the speculation is that that was what caused the Pope to resign. Is any of this constant drip, drip, drip of scandal, it doesn't seem to have any effect. Now, you could argue that because this report revealed this kind of activity inside the Vatican itself, maybe the Pope could handle the idea that the American church is gone off the rails, but right in under his own roof. Maybe, I don't know, I'm speculating.
Yeah. Well, I think that I am sure this is not the first time that the Pope has heard that there are prelates working in the Vatican and around the Vatican who are homosexual and who are active. These kinds of reports come out from time to time. I can't remember the source of it, but there was several years ago, one of the TV stations followed around. I went to various gay bars in Rome where prelates were known to hang out, and there was some videotaping of them. Those of us who have friends, anybody who has any friends in Rome or who is remotely close to things that are going on in the church, hears rumors. I've heard rumors for years about various cardinals, including American cardinals, who during their time in Rome were known to be active homosexuals. I mean, I've never felt any need to repeat any of it. I still don't feel any need to repeat any of it. But it's not, you know, the Pope was, there is no doubt in my mind that this Pope and any Pope at any point in history would be the least bit surprised to know that there are among his bishops and among his priests men who are actively homosexual.
Well, of course, Francis Kissling. What gets confused here is the child sex abuse and homosexuality, and they have no relationship. And the Ghanaian cardinal, who many think might be the next pope, he made some extremely reactionary remarks about homosexuality, saying in Africa that we don't have that problem.
Yes.
And he's also apparently said strangely sympathetic things about these horrible anti-gay laws that are being passed in Uganda and other countries. So what do you think the chances of him being the next pope? I mean, I guess I've got to preface that by saying that every one of these cardinals was either appointed by the outgoing pope, who's just resigned, Benedict, or his predecessor, John Paul, right?
That's right.
So they're all ultra-conservatives. They're fundamentalists, frankly.
Well, I mean, I think that you know, I mean, they vary to some extent. I wouldn't call all of them ultra-conservative, but I think the large they are conservative, and they have taken conservative views on any number of issues. You know, the African cardinals have their own problems that came out some time ago, about 10 years ago, when one of the orders of nuns that works in Africa wrote two scathing reports over a 10-year period about the prevalence of priests who force Catholic nuns in Africa into sexual relationships with them. Very much along the lines that we know of the mythology around, well, and basically the priests believed that nuns would be celibate, and therefore they would be having sex with women who did not have HIV, and therefore they would be free of getting the disease. And this is well documented, well reported. The cardinals and bishops in Africa did nothing about it, and the Pope did nothing about it. I mean, you know, this is unfortunately a, you know, which goes back to what I said in my Nation piece, you know, this really is a church where the kind of corruption we are seeing today, whether it is greed, sexuality, abuse of people on many, many levels, it begins to rival what you see of the Borgia popes on television and read in books. It's really a level of corruption that is beyond shocking.
But what's strange about this, Francis Kissling? And again, I'm speaking with Francis Kissling, who is was the president of Catholics for Choice until her retirement in 2007, and she's now a visiting scholar at the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania, and serves on the advisory boards of the Journal of Feminist Ethics and Women's Bioethics Project. And she's a consultant to the Western Hemispheric region of the International Planned Parenthood Federation. Now, you would think that with all of this scandal, and now this latest scandal, if you're to believe the La Repubblica and Panorama, which is not that well sourced, and a lot of people are skeptical about these reports. And of course, as I mentioned, the Vatican have really strenuously denied them. But nevertheless, you would think that in the real world, after all of this money and scandal, and the Irish church is all but finished. I mean,
yes.
Nobody's showing up in Ireland now. They're so disgusted. And I imagine it's happened here to some extent in the United States. I bet the attendance is way down and the money is way down. So you'd think that...
Well, actually, it's not. That's a piece of the problem. And when you look at these things, these scandals come up in a variety of places. You know, and when you look at the U.S., I mean, when the scandal, this round of sex abuse scandals broke in 2002 with the Boston Globe, you know, this really wonderful organization called Voice of the Faithful was developed, and, you know, to deal very narrowly with questions around sexual abuse in the church. And the cover-up of it. You know, these were not radical people who wanted women ordained. They didn't have any agenda on contraception. They just wanted the sex abuse to stop. And they believed that they would, you know, they bragged and hoped that they would get 10 million Catholics as members. You know, throughout that entire period from 2002 forward, you know, they never went above 50,000 members. And their budget never went above $600,000, and they, you know, were closing their office and unable to pay their staff and all of this. So it's very difficult. It is difficult to understand how ordinary people, you know, the vast majority of Catholics, just let this kind of thing go by. That it doesn't outrage them enough for them to say, we've had it. We're not giving our money. We're going to go to another, we're going to join another religion. They, you know, I mean, American Catholics are really quite apathetic in large numbers. I know that right now there are a number of Catholics in, you know, California who are protesting Cardinal Mahoney's participation in the conclave. Because of his involvement in the sex abuse scandal, as transfers of priests, etc. You know, so you get a narrow band, really a narrow band of Catholics who seem to think that their priests and their cardinals should be saintly men who lead exemplary lives. And either most Catholics don't care whether their cardinals or bishops are saintly and lead exemplary lives, or they're just not reading the newspaper.
Well, you mentioned Cardinal Mahoney here in Los Angeles, the biggest Catholic diocese in the country. A petition of 10,000 signatures was handed to his office yesterday by a group called Catholics United. He apparently has gone to Rome, and on the local news coverage last night, they were showing his Twitters that he does tweeting now, and said, I'll be in Rome for the conclave, and I'll keep tweeting you with updates. Of course, I can't tweet from the conclave, but you're in my prayers or something. And it's all sort of designed to show that he's sort of hip in a way.
Yes.
But, you know, without reaching here, it doesn't seem like he gets it neither. I mean, I don't think any of them get
it. Well, listen, you know, you're dealing with a level of corruption among high-ranking prelates that is very high. And so that, you know, Cardinal Mahoney and his colleagues have a lot to answer for, and none of them have felt that they have to answer for it, whether it's the cardinals in Belgium or the cardinal, you know, the cardinals and bishops in Ireland, the African cardinals, the cardinals and bishops in the Philippines who received the priests from the United States who were sent over. The level of corruption is very high. And what happens is, as happens with any cohort of people who hang out with each other, you reinforce that kind of corruption and consider it normal. And when nobody does anything about it, you know, when these kinds of incidents are reported quite regularly and have been reported quite regularly to the Vatican and to higher ranking officials in the church, you know, over, say, even we just look at it in modern times, over the past 50 years, and nothing is done. And so everyone who is part of that system believes they are immune from any disgrace, opprobrium, expectation of normal behavior.
Well, I know, Francis, you're just back from Tanzania in Africa, so you may have missed a recent article in the New York Times about a Monsignor in Connecticut who was dealing methamphetamine and having all kinds of wild sex parties and stuff. It was an unbelievable story. I mean, it just, as I say, this latest one from La Repubblica, the idea that a network of gay prelates in the Vatican are being blackmailed, and it may have something to do with the bank, the Vatican Bank, is pretty breathtaking. But just to go to the conclave, which starts soon, and the Pope, you know, the suspicion from these articles is that this was too much for the Pope, this study or this secret report by these three cardinals. You've got the cardinals from Italy responsible for the destruction of the Catholic Church in Ireland. You've got the cardinals from Ireland responsible for the destruction of the Catholic Church in Ireland voting. You've got Mahoney voting over here, which a lot of local Catholics tried to stop but were unable to do. And so it goes on. Is there anybody in that whole conclave that is a little more pragmatic, has a little more compassion and humanity, and recognizes that they've got to get up to the 21st century and start? I mean, isn't it true that most of them aren't recruited from priests that are out there in the field? They're mostly sort of recruited as church bureaucrats?
Yes. I mean, it's very much, you know, when John Paul II came in, he set about a very strategic move to ensure long-term conservatism and loyalty to the system among the cardinals. He appointed, and Ratzinger has followed that, and as you noted earlier, almost all of the, I think all of the cardinals who are under 85, which is the age at which they can no longer vote, right now have been appointed by those two men. And he appointed young men so that their ultimate formation, you know, I mean, they weren't in their 20s, but, you know, men in their 30s and their 40s to become cardinals, who therefore had a lot of time to develop their mature adult attitudes, if one can say that, in the Vatican and as cardinals. He appointed a lot of bureaucrats, a lot of people who had served the church as either ambassadors or professors or just functionaries within the Vatican. And he deliberately, it would seem, there was a deliberate effort, or people who had worked in dioceses in their own countries. There was a deliberate effort, it seemed, not to appoint men who had come up through the priesthood and served in poor areas as parish priests, who might have some real understanding of the lives of ordinary people. But, you know, he basically appointed the heads of the, you know, like if this was IBM, if you could compare this to IBM and Rome was the international headquarters, he appointed the CEOs and the CFOs and the researchers from the national offices of IBM. And so we, you know, we have a very corporatized church, combined not only with a corporate mentality of protecting the institution, but also with a kind of sense of personal opportunism, which is which really, you know, does permeate. Now, you know, a lot of the guys are pretty good actors, and they learned how to, you know, play jolly fellow, well-met, back-slapping kind of guys. But when it comes right down, you know, it's a bunch of pretty ruthless characters. And increasingly, we are seeing a level of corruption at either financial or sexual levels that is you know, does not speak well of something, of a church whose ultimate leader is supposed to be infallible.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Frances Kissling.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I've been speaking with Frances Kissling, former president of Catholics for Choice until her retirement in 2007. She's currently a visiting scholar at the Center for Bioethics at the University of Pennsylvania and serves on the advisory boards of the Journal of Feminist Ethics and the Women's Bioethics Project. She's a consultant to the Western Hemispheric region of the International Planned Parenthood Federation. She has an article at The Nation, A New Pope, African Latin American Woman, Nice Guy, Will Change Nothing. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about today's Italian elections.